So in your program, there's this, is this a purple insert? You want to take that out and jot down some notes. We'll get to that also in just a few minutes. Before we do, though, let me just share a couple thoughts that are not really directly based on the sermon, but I want to share a couple things. This is an exciting season right now at South Point. We're launching our Connect groups, actually start tonight and this week. And so we have a saying around here. I'll put it up on the screen for you. It's called Circles Are Better Than Rows. And what we mean by that is it's great to come together. And this morning, we're all sitting in rows, and that's good. We need to be sitting in rows for worship and preaching. But we need to be sitting in circles as well where we're face-to-face, where we're not looking at the back of someone's head, but we're looking face-to-face with someone in a group. So maybe for some of you, that was this morning. We've got men's Sunday school, we've got women's Sunday school classes, we've got an adult class. Some of you have already had your circle time. Others of you are going to be tonight in our Connect groups or Tuesday night. And this is an opportunity for you to get face-to-face, looking at someone, getting more acquainted than just saying, hi, my name is so-and-so, but a chance to really build relationships and friendships and connections. And so the good news is, well, kind of good news, bad news, all of our Sunday night groups are filled, but we have room in our Tuesday night group. So out in the lobby, sign up if you want to be a part of one of these Connect groups. And really, they're based on taking the Sunday morning message and then applying it to your life. And so you'll hear things this morning and say, boy, what does that mean? How do I make that really happen in my life? And you'll be in a group with 6 or 8 or 10 other adults and be able to help each other and work that out and walk through life together. So that's good news. I want to encourage you to jump in and do that. I wish we had more groups. So maybe God's going to tug at your heart and say, you know what? You ought to be leading a group. It's really easy. You can do it. And so if that's something God's speaking to you about, come talk to me. I'd love to get you lined up for that. One other thing, let me say very quickly, is I wrote a letter this week and mailed it out to all of our members. And if you didn't get one, it's because you're not a member. And there's nothing private about it. It's just we don't have all of our attenders' addresses. So if you didn't get a letter, it's out there on the information desk. And it basically has to do with our staffing and what we're going to do now. Pastor Kim has gone, how we're going to handle that. We've had a lot of questions about that, and so we kind of laid out a plan. So if you got questions, pick up that letter. If you're not a member, why not? Guess what? You get a letter every once in a while if you're a member, so that ought to make you pretty excited, right? Okay, you want to hear some good news this morning? That wasn't good enough. Do you want to hear some good news? All right. Well, starting this afternoon, we're partnering with a Tongan church. And from 1 o'clock till about 3:30, they're going to be meeting in our youth center, and it's going to be exciting. Isn't that good news? And so they're launching today. They're super excited. Pastor Manuka is his name. I'm not going to try to pronounce his last name, but sweet gentleman, and he's got a group of about 25 or 30 Tongans and other folks from that part of the world. And I bet they're going to serve some good food every once in a while, so I'm going to find out when that's going to be. I'm not sure if they'll be here for our missions conference coming up next month. I'm going to extend the invitation. But my vision for South Point is not only that we fill this room, but we fill that youth center several times during the week. And we're doing it already on Sunday morning. Pastor Julio is there right now preaching in Spanish. We're here preaching in English. This afternoon, they'll be preaching in Tongan. I'm sorry, I don't know what language that is. Maybe that's the language. I'm excited. God's given us this campus. Let's use it. Let's fill it up. Let's make this a place where people are hearing the gospel in all sorts of different languages and cultures. And so, most of us aren't here Sunday afternoon, and so you may not think about it, but if you do think about it, say, Lord, please bless those Tongan brothers and sisters. When the time is right, we'll have them come, introduce them, and have just an opportunity for us to pray over them. But I just thought you ought to know that, because good news sometimes is hard to find in life, and that was some good news. Well, this morning we're continuing on with our series called It's Not Mine. It's Not Mine. It's Not Mine. And there's a great little video clip I want to share with you today, simply to introduce the topic like we did last week. Every parent, every grandparent probably knows this movie, that great theological movie called Finding Nemo, and it speaks to our topic this morning. Let's take a moment and watch this clip.
You rats with wings!
The bloke's been looking for his boy Nemo.
Nemo?
He was taken off the reef by divers and this...
They're taking it, Harvey! Hey, hey, say that again. You just said something about Nemo. What was it?
Mine!
Mine, 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 mine. Can you relate to that? Now, I know you're not that way, but maybe the person next to you, you've seen that in their life a little bit, you know? It's my stuff, it's my money, it's my time, it's my bodies, it's my abilities, it's my stuff, leave it alone. And if we're not careful, you live life that way. Mine, 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 mine. That's kind of the default setting in our hearts before we know Jesus. And even after we know Jesus, sometimes we struggle with that. It's like, well, I don't want to give away my time. I don't want to give away any of my stuff or any of my money. And today, for this four-week series, we're really kind of drilling deep into that thought, into that topic, because my perspective, and I hope yours as well, especially when we finish the series, is to say, it's not mine. It's not mine. It belongs to Him. And if He asked me to give it away, if He asked to use it in a certain way, if He takes it from me, I realize it's not mine. I can't hang on to it and hold on to it. I say, Lord, it's yours. You've given it to me. Last week, you talked about the fact that my body's not mine. My body belongs to the Lord. I am a temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And unlike the Corinthians who thought they could divorce their body from their spirit and still be involved in sexual morality, Paul says, no, 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 you can't do that. Your body belongs to the Lord. Your body was made for the Lord. We'll be bodily creatures forever. You realize in eternity, we're going to have bodies. They'll be perfected bodies. They'll be perfected bodies. Aren't you thankful for that? No more sickness or illness or disease, none of that stuff. We'll have perfect bodies. We'll serve. We'll rule and reign with Him forever and ever and ever. And so the reason why this is so important, again, I want to remind you kind of the setting for this series, and actually for a whole life, is found in Genesis 1 and Revelation 22. So the very first chapter of the Bible in Genesis 1, God created the heavens and the earth. God created this earth. God created a place called the Garden of Eden. And God said, I created a man and a woman. I put them in that garden and said, you know what? I want you guys to rule it. I want you to reign it. There, I want you to take dominion over the animals. I want you to be just enjoy the garden. I want you just to take care of it for me. God is the owner, and we are the managers. Now, it's interesting to think about. When we think about Adam and Eve, we have really no conception of how long they were in the garden before they fell. You ever think about that? We don't know. Maybe they enjoyed 1,000 years of serving God in that way until that day the serpent came and they fell. Or maybe it was a very short time. We don't know. But for whatever time frame it was, they were there in the garden. They were serving God. God created it, and He said, I want you to manage it. How have you loved to do gardening or yard work? Anybody out there? Okay, but I mowed my lawn yesterday, and that was about enough for me. We don't even have a large lawn. I'm like, okay, I'm done. But to think about the perfect weather, and just the perfect setting and the unique fruit and just the beautiful plants and the animals. It was just a marvelous assignment. God said, I will create it and I want you to manage it. So that's Genesis 1. And if we fast forward all the way to the end of the Bible, Revelation 22, yet in the future, the Bible says in eternity future that we will rule and reign. And the Bible says that His servants will serve Him. Let me see your hand if you're one of the servants of God. And the Bible says we're going to serve Him in heaven. So again, the same thing is true in the future. God has created a great universe, and I don't know all the details. I can't try to explain it, but perhaps you'll be in charge of a certain planet or a certain solar system or a certain part of the... I mean, it boggles your mind to think about how we're going to serve God, how we're going to rule, but yet in future, we'll never be creators. We'll always be what? Managers of what God created. And so here we are in the middle. We're after Genesis 1. We're before Revelation 22. And so that's why today we can say the same thing is true, that it is God is the creator, I am the manager. In fact, that's the first feeling if you're taking notes, that God is the creator, we are His managers. Now, I neglected to ask the ushers to help us out here this morning. I'm sorry, ushers, if you're still available. If you need a Bible, raise your hand. We want to get you a Bible. And I even wore my usher shirt this morning. You notice all the ushers wear black shirts, so I fit right in. I want to be an usher today, so way to go, guys. So if you need a Bible, raise your hand. We'll get one to you. God is the creator. I am the manager. And we're unique in all creation because of that. The animals don't have the same assignment. We have the image of God within us. And part of that is God says, I want you to rule and reign what I have created. So really that brings us to that key question that will take, again, these 4 weeks and look at different topics according to this idea. But am I the owner or the manager? Is what I think mine really mine? Are my kids mine? Are my grandkids mine? Is my stuff mine? Is my money mine? Is my time mine? Is my life really mine? Or is it really belong to Him? Now, the good news is if we have the right perspective, if we say, Lord, it's not mine, it's yours, guess what? Great freedom then follows, right? Remember, I shared this last Sunday, that if we think our stuff is ours and we got to hold on to it, if your house is yours and you leave town for a weekend, you're going to think, oh no, what if someone breaks in and steals my stuff? Now, none of us want that to happen, but a better perspective is to say, Lord, someone broke into your house and stole your stuff. Now, what are you going to do about it? Because it's your stuff. Now, again, I'm not saying we shouldn't have insurance, we shouldn't lock our doors. I'm not saying any of that. But the bottom line is there's great freedom in saying, Lord, my body belongs to you. My money belongs to you. My children belong to you. And there's freedom in just saying, Lord, I surrender that to you, and I have the right and proper perspective. Amen. Are you with me? Take your Bibles. Let's stand together. Pastor Jackie's going to come and read our text this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And out of respect for God's word, we want to stand as we read it today. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 11.
There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it's the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another, and to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have.
Amen. Father, thank you for giving us gifts and abilities, Lord. As you look at that topic today, help us to make the commitment that they're not ours, they belong to you. In Jesus' name, amen. And God bless you. You may be seated this morning. And certainly this is a wide topic. And so let me just say right off the bat that there's a lot we could say about spiritual gifts and manifestations of the Spirit and natural abilities, all those things. But I want to kind of throw a wide net over that whole topic today. And let's talk about just any sort of ability that God may have given us. Now, I think back, and in fact, I looked through some of my notes in previous ministries, and I used to teach a four-hour seminar on this topic, and so, we can certainly do that, but I don't think you plan to stay till 3 o'clock today, so I'm going to try to just kind of throw a wide net around this idea that we have been given abilities by God. Amen? The person next to you is very talented. They've got abilities and gifts. Some of them are natural. Some of them are supernatural, but so we'll kind of just throw a wide net over that whole topic and look at how God wants us to use those, why he gave those to us. And so this morning I gave you a very simple outline. Again, it's sometimes when there's a big topic and my mind is trying to get my hands around it, I kind of go, who, what, where, when, why, how? You know, those kind of questions. So this morning, if you're looking for, there's probably a lot that I can't say this morning for sake of time, but I want to just kind of throw a wide net over this idea and ask ourselves the question, what, who, why, and how, and then see what God would say to us in that. All right, so point number one, what have I been given? What have I been given? I have been given abilities, spiritual gifts, manifestations of the Spirit. Listen, if you're a follower of Jesus, you are included. Listen, this is not talking just to pastors this morning. This is just not talking to people who are up front. This is talking to every person in this room has been given abilities, manifestations of the Spirit, natural abilities, supernatural. We have got abilities, and the person next to you is very, very talented. Amen. Now, some of you are surprised by that, but it's true. I mean, we've got abilities. God's given us these things, and the person next to you can do things that you can't do. You maybe can do things they can't do, and it's all good. It all works together. Don't exclude yourself. Don't say, well, I'm just a new believer. Listen, it doesn't matter. You've been given abilities. God wants to use those in his kingdom. Now, they're not just given after you've served the Lord for 5 years or 10 years. Now listen, I want you to think about this. It didn't have to be this way. God could have said, you know what? I don't need your help. I'll do it all myself. How do you know it would be? He could have done a lot better job than any of us. In fact, if it was, if God, or God could have sent angels. How do you know that if an angel was preaching this morning, this room would be packed full of people? I want to go hear an angel preach, right? I mean, you just could not be able to hold the people in. Now, I know I'm sorry to disappoint you. I am not an angel. I'm waiting for my wife to say amen, but she's praying about it. Listen, God could do a lot better on his own or sending angels to do the things that we do. You know, but God said, I want my people to do it. I want people to preach. I want people to counsel. I want people to pray. I want people to clean up the room. I want people to care for the children. You know, we're like sometimes when your two-year-old wants to help you in the yard or in the kitchen, and you say, well, okay, I'll let you help. But how do you know that a two-year-old probably causes more work than help, right? Amen. That's how we are with God. God could do it without us, but he said, you know, I've chosen instead to give my people abilities. I want them to use it for my honor and my glory. Now, again, you might remember the list that Pastor Jackie read a moment ago. There's just a diversity of abilities, a diversity of gifts. But I want you to don't miss this. Why is there such a great diversity of gifts? It comes from the fact in verses 4 through 6, I hope your Bible is still open, but in verses 4 through 6, I want you to notice something, because Paul says something it's kind of flies under the radar here, but I think it's very important. In verse 4, he says, the same Spirit. Verse 5, the same Lord. In verse 6, the same God. What is he doing? He's naming the three persons of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Now, you might have missed that, and I certainly did the first couple times I read it, but here's what I'm saying. The diversity of gifts and abilities that you and I have comes out of the diversity that we see even in God. God is complete. God is diverse. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three in one. We talk about, and even though the word Trinity isn't found in the Bible, that's certainly how God reveals himself to us. He says, I am God the Father, I am God the Son, I am God the Spirit, and we see it here. And so as we have diversity in our abilities, we have diversity in our lives, that's a reflection of the diversity found in Almighty God. And I'm awful glad, I'll just say this, I'm glad not everyone is just like me. Amen. Thank you, Carlos, for saying that nice and loud. Amen. I'm glad everyone's not just like you, too. I mean, the diversity of people, the diversity of abilities is a good thing. In fact, Paul goes on later in chapter 12. We don't have time to look at it today, but you might remember the story. Paul says the church is the body of Christ. And your body has different abilities, different functions, different parts. And so this idea of diversity within unity is what kind of drives this whole conversation. And again, I'll say it again. Aren't you glad that not everyone at South Point is exactly the same? I love the fact that we have different races, different backgrounds, different stories, different viewpoints, and that's a good thing. Amen. I'm glad that even we can open our other buildings to other people that don't even speak our same language. Because the kingdom of God is not just about English. It's not just about us. It's a worldwide thing. And so diversity is a wonderful thing. Our strength comes from our diversity. But we have one common goal. Not just diversity going all over the place. One common goal, and that's to honor Jesus. So as long as we have that same goal, we're in good shape. You see, we need each other. Look there in your notes. I love this scripture. It's actually in the back of your notes here. Top of the back of your notes. It's from the Message paraphrase, and I love this, the way that the Message kind of takes this scripture, makes it come alive. Paul says this, make a careful exploration of who you are and the work you've been given, and then sink yourself into that. Don't be impressed with yourself. Don't compare yourself with others. Each of you must take responsibility for doing the creative best you can with your own life. We're talking about abilities this morning. Sometimes we look at somebody else and say, well, I wish I had their abilities. Have you ever said that? Ever thought that? Wow, I wish I was musical like that. I wish I was artistic like that. I wish I was logical like that. I wish I was able to be an entrepreneur like that person or whatever. And we can tend to look at other people's abilities and say, I wish I had that. Paul says, no. Don't do that. You must take responsibility, it says in verse 5, for doing your creative best with your own life. We've all got a job to do. We all have abilities. Use those. No one wants to. Now, my high school sports career was pretty short. I loved playing baseball, and I guess I was a fairly good player. But, you know, I got to the age where I noticed that I wanted to have a car. Amen? I wanted to have a job. I wanted to have a girlfriend. So sports kind of got pushed off to the. Why are you looking at me like that? Some of you look at me like. I was a normal kid, okay, you know, so I didn't have time to play a lot of high school sports, but I remember, you know, playing JV baseball, you know, you wanted to have a dirty uniform at the end of the game. I mean, to the point where if the coach didn't put you in, you'd sneak over and grab some dirt and rub it on your legs, you know. So at least it looked like you got in the game. No one joins a sports team to sit on the bench. Amen. You want to get in the game. You want to be used. You want to do something. And so that's what the Bible's talking about here. Your abilities, God's given you, and he wants you to use them. Now, we not only have different abilities. Let me say something that maybe you haven't heard before. We not only have different abilities, but we have different levels of ability. Now, stay with me here. You know, we know that's true. The Bible tells us it's true. Jesus tells stories and parables about one man had 10, one man had 5, one man had 2. You remember those stories? And somebody said, well, Pastor, we shouldn't talk about that. We should talk about it, and here's why. Because we need to do the best with what we've been given. You may look at somebody else and say, wow, look at the abilities they have. Wow, I wish I... Listen, they will be responsible for the abilities they've been given. You're responsible for the abilities that you've been given. Whether theirs are larger or yours are larger or smaller, it doesn't matter. Do the best you can with what God has given you. You may be... Here we go. You may be a gulp. Think about your abilities. You know what? I'm just an average person. I'm not very good at much things. I'm kind of quiet. And you say, you know what? That's probably me. And you may look at somebody else and say, wow, they're a big gulp. And you may tend to say, well, you know, boy, I wish I could do what they can do. I wish I had their abilities. And this person could look at this person and say, no, they're a super big gulp. Right? And boy, look at what they can do. Look at the abilities that they've got. And they can do this and they can do that. And they're on television and they're, you know, blah, blah, they're getting all the promo. Listen, how about the double gulp? Now, if you drink one of these, I mean, yeah, that's amazing. But okay, put that right there, okay? And the idea here is this. Whoa. The idea here is that we can all get sick from drinking too much soft drinks. That's the idea. The idea is this. Stay. It's pointless to compare. Because here's why. What is more pleasing to God? And I didn't bring any liquid up here to demonstrate, but picture. What's more pleasing to God? A gulp that's completely filled. I mean, a person with maybe modest or average or normal abilities, like most, if not all of us, saying, God, I may not have much, but it's all yours. Compare that to someone who may be a double gulp, yet they're filled to about here. And they're withholding their ability to say, well, I'm so talented, I don't need to really, you know, commit everything to the Lord, and I can do this without even trying. And listen, a person with these kind of abilities is going to be judged on a different scale than a person with this kind of abilities. You see that? And so the point is not to try to figure out even which one of these four you are. It doesn't matter which one you are. The point is, do your best with what God has given you. And time spent in comparison is sin. Why? Because comparison is always a sin. You know why? Because you can do one of two things. If you're this way comparing to this way, you're going to be envious. Well, I wish I could do what she can do. She is so talented, and she is so gifted, and she is so, you know, blah, 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 blah. And you become envious if you compare yourself to someone who you think has different abilities. Or turn it the other direction. You could be this person, at least in your eyes, and look at someone like this, and what happens? Now you're prideful. Oh, you know, I can do that. Why can't they do this? I can do that. So listen, it is just a waste of time, and it's a sin. The Bible says do the best with what God's given you. Don't compare. Don't envy. Don't go down that road at all. Just be yourself. Say, God, I may not have much, but everything I have belongs to you. In fact, that's probably the best perspective. If we try to figure out, you know, well, I'm a bigger cup than he is, listen, that's a waste of time. I think in God's kingdom, and we may just say, hey, we're all just gulps. We're all just people doing our best to serve the Lord. And that's what's pleasing to the Lord. It's not the size of the cup, quote unquote, but the percentage that's turned over to Jesus. Is that making sense to you this morning? Number two, who do I serve with my abilities? Well, the Bible says I serve others. I serve others. Again, verse 7, the spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can serve each other. God's given you abilities not to serve yourself, not to build yourself up, but so you can serve people around you. My abilities are not to make me look good, not to build myself up. When we use our abilities properly, Jesus looks good. We point to him as the giver of good gifts. I mean, think about it this way. Again, it's not mine. It's not yours. What did you do? If you're an artistic person, and you're able to see things and do things with your hands and picture things, and you are just got that gift, how can you take credit for that? You were born with that. You were given that by God. You can't boast about it. You can't say, well, listen, now you can take that gift and refine it and work on it, sure, but you have just been given something by God that I don't have. If you're musical, you can come up and play and sing and do all that stuff. Listen, how can you boast about that? Because you didn't earn it. God gave it to you, and it's not yours. It's His. Athletic, compassionate, intelligent. You're able to build a business. You're able to be musical or organized. You're good with kids. You've got a compassionate heart. You've got an above average intelligence. It doesn't matter what it is. You were given to it by you were given it by God. And so you've got to serve others with it. It's not there to build you up. Number three, how do I serve? Well, the Bible is very clear. I serve with the heart of a servant. I serve to make Jesus look good with my abilities, not myself. Listen, all the ability in the world adds up to nothing if I don't have a heart to serve. Have you ever met anybody like this? Now, don't point at them if they're here this morning. I'm sure they're not, but you know. There are people that have all the ability in the world. You know, they are a super big gulp in the eyes of the world. I mean, they've just got to, but you know what? Their attitude stinks. They're not there to serve. They're there to draw glory to themselves. They're there to make themselves look good. And again, Jesus is our role model for this. If anyone had the ability, if anyone had the quote-unquote right to have things pointed and directed at him, it was Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of Man, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He deserved the honor and the glory, yet he came to do what? He came to serve. And toward the end of his ministry here on earth, we see it in Mark chapter 10. In fact, in the context of these verses, the disciples are arguing, who is the greatest in the kingdom? Who is the best? Who is the super big gulp of the 12, okay? You know, who's the most important? Who's the one? Listen, Jesus, what did he do? He stood up and he took a towel. He took off his outer garment, stripped down to his underclothes. He took a towel. It probably didn't look like this. didn't look like this. Okay, but it was a towel. He took a towel. And what did he do? He went around the circle and washed the feet of his disciples. Washing feet, as you can imagine, is a job that nobody wanted. The disciples didn't realize as they came into that room that night, there was a basin and there was a towel in the corner of the room. It was there all along. Jesus didn't make it magically appear. It was there all along. None of them, though, wanted to serve anybody else. They all thought they were a little bit better than the other one. They all thought, well, you know, he should wash my feet. I'm not going to wash his feet. And so Jesus says, you see it there in your notes in verse 42, Jesus called them together and said, you know that in this world, kings are tyrants and officials lord it over the people beneath them, but among you, it should be quite different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be the slave of all. Listen, for even I, the Son of Man, came here not to be served, but to serve others and to give my life as a ransom for many people. Even I, Jesus said. Listen, great people are serving people. And God gives us the abilities. God has given you abilities. Say, Lord, I just want to serve the people you put in my life. Now, I know you know this, but it's a good reminder for us to have that attitude. Now, let me close with number four. Why do I serve? Now, let me just pause right here because I know what some of you are thinking, okay? Because I would tend to perhaps think this way myself. You'd think, okay, pastor's preaching this sermon about abilities. In fact, there's even an insert in our bulletin, the blue one, about, you know, hey, we need help around here, okay? So come on, we need abilities and we need you to help. And so sign up to help out here and do this and do that. And we need someone to work, on the building or take care of the kids. And so your mind may be going that direction, okay? And I forgive you for thinking that, okay? I forgive you in advance because I get that. But I want to push against that so strongly today, and here's why. Because as your pastor, listen, let me pause right here. Let me back up. I'm not preaching this sermon to get you to sign up to serve somewhere. Now, this insert, which we'll talk about in a moment, it's here because it'll be kind of pointless for you to preach about abilities without giving you an opportunity to put your abilities into practice, right? So, and there are things that need to be done around here. And so, I mean, let's put the two and two together. But that is not why I'm preaching this sermon. I want you to know that the reason I'm preaching this sermon goes much, 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 much deeper than that. And let me explain what I mean by that. if you don't do what God's called you to do, for example, let me just pick a random ministry. You know, it'd be great if we had 8 greeters in the lobby. But if we only have 6, you know what, we're going to be okay, right? It would be great if we had, you know, more people doing more things. But you know what, we're going to survive either way. South Point is going to go on. We're going to go forward. You know, I'm not preaching this sermon so we can go from 6 greeters to 8 greeters, or we can go from, you know, 6 ushers to 8 ushers, or, you know, all that is good and important, but that's not why I'm preaching this sermon. My motivation is much different than you imagine. Here's why. Because serving with your abilities, it does other people good. We do need stuff done. We do need to have the lawn mowed. We need to have some buildings painted. We need to have some weeds pulled. All that stuff needs to happen, obviously. But listen, here's what I want you to hear. Serving does you more good than anybody else. I am jealous for your eternal reward. You see, you're going to be rewarded. I'm going to be rewarded in heaven. God is going to look at my life and say, this is what I gave you. What did you do with what I gave you? And as your pastor, you know, yeah, it's great to have stuff done around here, but a billion times more important is when you and I stand before Jesus on that day, we'll be able to say, Lord, you didn't give me much, perhaps, but I did everything I could with it. I don't want to be there with you on that day if God says, look, I gave you a double gulp worth of abilities and you didn't do much with it. That'll be a sad day. That'll be a day that you and I would regret. You know, we all know the pain of regret. We all know the pain of saying, well, I want to go back and do that again. I want to make a change. I want to do something different. But if we wait until our life is over, we stand before God, and God says, I gave you those abilities. What do you do with those? And we can't have a good answer. That is going to be a terrible, terrible thing. That's what I'm mainly concerned about this morning. Are you with me today? As your pastor, that's what I care about. You know, because the Bible says, and we'll get to it in just a moment, the Bible says clearly that we'll stand before God and we won't stand before a jury of our peers. We won't stand before, you know, anybody else. We'll stand before Almighty God. And on that day, we'll give an account of our life. And God will look at our life. You know, say, listen, I gave you abilities. I gave you the ability to do this or to do that or to love in this way or to serve in this way. And again, I'm not just talking about church stuff. I'm talking about your whole life. And on that day, I want to be able to say, God, you may not have given me a lot, but I did what I could with it. Excuse me. I did the best I could. And I want you to be able to say the same thing. And write this down. Here's the feeling. I will be judged for the way I use my abilities to serve. I'll be judged for the way I use my abilities to serve. Again, as followers of Jesus, you say, well, Pastor, I thought we weren't ever judged because, you know, we're going right to heaven. Yes, we'll never be judged for our sins. Aren't you thankful for that? Our sins have been paid for. The blood of Jesus covers our sins. And if you're a follower of Jesus, you'll never be asked about that sin you committed because the price has been paid. I thought I'd get a few more amens there, but maybe you've never sinned. I'm not sure. But we will be judged for our management. We'll be judged for what we've done with what God's given us. Now, I know I read these verses sometime in our Daniel series, so we talked about this recently, but I think it's important we look at it again. There is coming a evaluation. There is coming a report card day. There's coming a day when we're reviewed by our boss on the job, and it's found again in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It's on this. Let's put it on the screen. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul again says, because of God's grace to me. I've laid the foundation as an expert builder. Now others are building on it, but whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have, Jesus Christ. Anyone who builds on that foundation may use a variety of materials, gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, or straw, but on the judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if a builder's person's work has any value. If the work survives, that builder will receive a reward. But if the work is burned up, the builder will suffer great loss. The builder will be saved, but like someone barely escaping through a wall of flames. You see the picture? Where this isn't a salvation issue. This isn't for people, heaven or hell. This is for people who will spend eternity with Jesus, but their lives are going to be evaluated. And on that day, my life will be there before me, represented by materials, gold, silver, wood, hay, straw, whatever material I've spent my life constructing, and the fire of God will hit that pile. Now, on that day, if we've taken the abilities that God's given us and if we haven't used them, if we haven't served him well, if we've said, no, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine, I'm not going to let any of that go, on that day, we'll be in heaven, we'll make it to heaven, but we'll have nothing to show for it. The Bible says this, like someone barely escaping a wall of flames. Think of the wildfires that we've had in California. And people say, I survived, I'm here, but my house is gone. That's kind of the picture. Versus a person who said, Lord, I've taken my abilities, and with them I've served you. I've served others well with a servant's heart. And there, when the fire comes and burns up some of that stuff, guess what? There's remaining gold and silver and precious stones, symbolizing the things that you and I have done with the abilities that God has given to us. And on that day, we'll be able to return those back to the Lord as our offering, as our act of worship to him. Won't that be a great day? It will be if we have something to offer him. It will be if we have something to show for our lives. Now listen, I'm not here to make you feel guilty. I'm not here to twist your arm. I'm not here to make you sign up for anything. But I am here to say, think about your life. Think about your abilities. You've got abilities. You've got abilities I don't have. You've got abilities the person next to you doesn't have. You've got the ability to make a difference in the kingdom of God. I want you to think about that. And you may say, Pastor, my abilities take me, and I'm serving God out in the community. Hey, that's wonderful. I am excited about that. This is not, again, this is not just about let's sign up for church stuff, although that may be a part of what we need to do. It's not a recruitment message. It's a message about your and my abilities and what we're doing with them. Are they mine? Or do I say, Lord, they're yours. I want to serve you with what you've given to me. Now, churches are funny places, aren't they? Have you noticed that? The churches are places where it's just, we can walk in on a morning like today and say, they don't need my help. I mean, there's someone running the soundboard, and there's someone that made the coffee, and in a moment, there's going to be some ushers that are going to serve us, and there's people up here on the instruments. They don't need me, without realizing that all week, dozens of people anyway, have come and served. I mean, the lawn has been mowed, the bathrooms have been cleaned, the bulletins have been stuffed, the coffee's been made, the babies are being taken care of, the sound system is on. No problem, right? No, it's everybody doing their part. Everyone doing their part. So let me close with this question. Honest question, no guilt involved, no heavy recruitment pitch here at all, but simply this. Here's the question. Are you ready? The question is, are you honoring God with your abilities? Are you honoring God, saying, God, you've given me this ability. How do you want me to use it? How can I serve you? That's a question I want you to think about. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to ask our ushers or our worship team to prepare to come up in just a moment. But I want you to think about that question. Are you honoring God? Am I honoring God with my abilities? Am I doing the best with what he's given to me? Or if I said, no, that's mine. It's mine. It's mine. I'm holding on to it. I can't use that to serve anybody. I've got to hang on to it. With every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, as your pastor, I want to rejoice with you on that day. I don't know exactly what it'll look like. But I don't think it's going to be a private moment when our lives are evaluated like that. I tend to think that we'll be there together and perhaps we'll be able to rejoice together. Hey, look at what you did for Jesus. Look at that gold. Look at that silver. Look at those precious stones because of your service to the Lord. And I'd love to be there with you on that day. Wow, what a celebration that's going to be. I wouldn't want any of us to be there on that day and to be embarrassed, to have regret, to say, oh yeah, I'm in heaven. I'm going to be with Jesus forever. But man, my life just burned up. All the things that I thought were so important, all the things I invested my life in, all the things that I took my time and my money and my energy, it all went up in flames before the Lord. I don't want that for me. I don't want that for you. I want to be able to say, Lord, you've given me abilities, whether they're great or whether they're small, it doesn't matter. Lord, they're yours. So, Father, today we come before you. And it's a very serious moment, Lord, to think about our lives in this way. Father, you know my heart. My heart is not to manipulate. My heart is not to guilt people. But Lord, my heart is to see people on that day rejoicing because of their abilities have been maximized and used for your kingdom. Thank you, Lord, for the abilities, Lord, that you've given to us. Forgive us for the times, Lord, we compare. Forgive us for the times that we are envious of others. Forgive us for the times when we complain about what we can or cannot do or what we have or do not have. Lord, thank you for what you've given to us. Help us to take these abilities, Lord, and to use them for your honor and your glory. Father, if there's anyone here this morning that you're speaking to very clearly about their abilities, perhaps, Lord, that they would take this very seriously and find a way to serve you. Lord, not because they feel guilty or not because their pastor is twisting their arm, but because they want on that day to be able to stand before you and say, Lord, thank you. And to be able to offer back to you the gold and the silver and the precious stones that their life has been able to produce because they honored you with their abilities. Thank you, Lord, for South Point, Lord. There's so many people that serve us so well and many different hidden and ways we don't even think about. Lord, there's people that serve this church and Lord, that use their abilities to make this such a great place. I pray that you'd bless them today. They know who they are. And Lord, they'd be embarrassed if I called them up and pointed them out because they just want to serve you with their abilities. So Lord, thank you for the dozens of people that do that week in and week out. Bless them today. Let them know that you're pleased with them. Let them know that you're smiling on them today. We give you praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.